To talk today about the importance of attending church. We started last week about really just the habits of a committed follower of Jesus. Some of the things that you and I need to put into our lives to become the people that God desires us to be. And so we're going to talk today. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2, page 1079 in your Bibles. There was a story that there was a pastor who moved to a new town. He was the new pastor at the church, and you know, he was getting a feel for the community and really getting established in the community. And as he when he moved into town, there was a little coffee shop diner across the street from the church building. And so he would start going in there every week. He would try to find a way to go in there, and he would meet some of the employees. He would see some people from town and just start to make conversation with them. After about a year or so, he was in this little diner, and there was a guy sitting at a table just across from him, and the pastor sat down, he opened his Bible, he was reading a little bit, and the guy at the table across got up, and he came over to him, and he said, "Hey, I see you're reading your Bible. Are you a Christian?" And the pastor said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, I'm a Christian too," and they spent a few minutes talking about the Bible and the importance of faith and some things that God had done in each of their lives. And then the pastor asked this young man, he said, "Do you go to church anywhere?" And the young man said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, right across the road, that's my church." And the pastor said, "Well, I've been there for a year now, and I've not seen you in church once." And the young man responded and said, "Well, pastor, I didn't say I was a fanatic." We live in a time in which church attendance just really isn't important. I know there are some of you in this room that are more seasoned than others, and you probably remember a time in which there were no stores that were open on Sunday. You probably remember a time in which there was nothing else to do on Sunday except probably attend church. Now, for some of us that aren't as seasoned as you, we don't remember that time because now all the stores are open, people are working on Sundays, and Sunday really, in many cases, has become just like another weekday. Kids' activities are taking over Sundays, and not just in the world around us is church not important, but according to statistics, even those people who claim the name of Jesus, those people who say that Jesus is the most important thing in their life, for them, even church attendance has been declining. People just aren't attending church like they used to. And it's not an attitude in which we desire the days that have gone by, but the importance of attending church. You talk to people all the time, and they have a million reasons why they can't come to church. Some people will tell you, "Well, that's the only day that I have off. It's the only day that I get to sleep in." Other people will say, "Well, it's the only day that I can get all the work done around the house that I don't have any time other times to do. It's the only time in which my kids have baseball or soccer or football or all of their activities are happening. It's the only day that we can do that. It's the only day that our family can be together and go out for breakfast or brunch or something like that." And so we all have a million reasons. Maybe today it's too rainy to go to church. Maybe one Sunday it's too sunshiny to go to church. Maybe one day it's too snowy to go to church. We all have a million reasons why we don't go to church. But I would just want to share with you, just as we've been talking these last couple weeks, just the importance of being committed followers of Christ. Our whole purpose here at Hillside Community Church is to help as many people as possible to become committed followers of Christ. The whole reason we exist is to help people become disciples of Jesus, to be close, committed followers of Jesus. And we talked a couple weeks ago about what that looks like. A committed follower of Jesus, they connect, they grow, they serve, they go. They connect with God and with other believers. A fully committed follower of Christ, they grow in their faith. They take part in the things that's going to help them to grow, to become more like Jesus. They committed followers of Christ, they serve. They serve other people as in the church, outside of the church, and then ultimately they go. Committed followers of Jesus, they go in order to fulfill the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. They commit, or they connect, they grow, they serve, they go. Committed followers of Jesus connect, grow, serve, go. And last week we started talking about these habits that are important for a committed follower of Christ. And we believe that if you put into practice all of these habits, that you then will be somebody who connects, grows, serves, goes. And so here they are. Last week we talked about the importance of having daily devotions, the importance of reading our Bibles and praying in order to grow in our faith. This week we're talking about attending church regularly. And you see the other ones there. Be generous, involve in a small group, take part in serving, and share your faith. That if you would put into practice all of these habits, that you then would be a committed follower of Jesus who connects, grows, serves, goes. And so today we're going to talk about just the importance of attending church. And here in Acts chapter 2, we're going to read several verses here. We're going to see this early church, the importance, how important it was for them to be together in church. In beginning in verse 42, it says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and having and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now Luke writes the book of Acts, and here at beginning in verse 42, Luke says these people, this early church, the believers that were there at that point, they devoted themselves, is how he begins this. That word that he uses for devoted is a word that just simply means to be single-minded. It's the idea of living life with blinders on. You know, we use that analogy sometimes. Hey, you're just living with blinders. You're not able to see all the other things. And here Luke says this is what they did. They lived with blinders on. They were devoted. They were single-minded. There was a time in my life in which I was single-minded to one thing. And it happened about 14 years ago. My wife, Beth, was going into labor with our son, Holden. And we got in the car, and we lived about 10, 12 miles from the hospital, and we were driving down the road, and Beth grabbed a hold of the handle in the car, and she let out a scream that I had never heard come out of a human being before, and she said, "We need to get to the hospital now," and so I became devoted. I was single-minded to get to the hospital. I didn't care about traffic lights. I didn't care about police officers. I didn't care about traffic. I didn't care about pedestrians. I didn't care about anything other than getting my wife to the hospital. On a side note, we walked in, they took her up to the room. Holden was born 45 minutes later. They said she was 8 centimeters dilated when she walked into the hospital. I'm not really sure what that means, but it was pretty quick that he was born after that. And I was glad that I was devoted to getting her to the hospital. And that's the word that he uses here. He says, these people, this early church, they were devoted. They were single-minded. And also, the way in which he uses that verb is a way in which it meant just continuous action. So it wasn't something that they were devoted today and not tomorrow. It wasn't something where they were just devoted for a week and then not the next week. It wasn't something that they were just devoted for a month and then another month they weren't. It was ongoing action, that they were devoted to some certain things for the remainder of their lives. It was continuous in their lives. And so we're going to look at these this morning, and I want to just show you three reasons it is important for you to be in church, and it's because this early church, they devoted themselves to these things. And the first one is this: it's important to be in church so that you can learn God's Word. It's important to be in church to learn God's Word. Listen to what he says. He says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The very first thing that they were single-minded about, the very first thing that they were devoted to, was the apostles' teaching. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is talking to a son in the faith, Timothy, and he's placed Timothy to be the pastor of a church. And the one word of advice that he gives to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says this. He says to Timothy, devote yourself, the same word that he uses here. He said, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and teaching. He tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, as a pastor of the church, your number one responsibility is to be devoted to sharing God's word with the people. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says there, he says, the faith comes by hearing the message, and the hearing of the message is the words of Christ. That you and I are not going to grow in our faith if we do not hear the words. And all throughout Jesus' ministry, teaching was the cornerstone of all of Jesus' ministry. I know we get excited when we read about Jesus healing people. We get excited when we read about Jesus making deaf people able to hear again. We get excited when we read about Jesus raising people from the dead. But the foundation, the bedrock of Jesus' whole ministry was the ministry of teaching. In Mark's gospel, he says repeatedly that Jesus went all over the countryside teaching the people. And in Matthew chapter 6, or Mark chapter 6, there's a story there that we're all familiar with. Jesus feeds 5,000 people. You know the story with the couple loaves and a few fish. He feeds 5,000 people. And we love that story. But prior to that story, this is what happens. It says that Jesus was on a boat. He comes to the shore, gets out of the boat, and it says he sees all these people, 5,000 people standing all around him. And the Bible says he has compassion on them. And then he began to teach them. You see, feeding them was not the first priority for Jesus. He had compassion on them, and he said what they need most here is not fish and bread. The thing that they need most is to be taught the word of truth. Because he had compassion on them, he taught them. And after he finished teaching them, he then feeds them the fish and the bread. You see, teaching was a priority in Jesus' life. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus is given the Great Commission. And he says to us, he says, "Go therefore into all the world and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." You see, teaching is an important part of the Christian life. And that's why it's important for us to be a part of the, to be in church, because here he says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. There was never a time in their life, there's never going to be a time in my life, there's never going to be a time in your life in which you do not need the teaching of God's word. It's important for us to be in church to learn God's word. It happened several years ago. Church that I pastored in Erie, there I was doing a series through the book of Nehemiah, and I just entitled it Rebuilding and Rebuilding in Your Life. And the very first week I started that, in Nehemiah chapter 1, there was a young man that showed up for church, first time I'd seen him in church since I had been there. And I got done with the service, and I met him afterwards, and these are the words that he said to me. He said, "You know what, I was wondering if I should come to church today or not. But I am so glad I came today, because what you said was exactly what I needed to hear." He eventually gave his life to Christ, started inviting some of his friends. Some of them came to know Christ. And it all started because he took the initiative one day to say, "Hey, do I want to go to church or not go to church?" And he said, I'm going to go to church. And he showed up, and God spoke to him exactly where he was, exactly what he needed. And I'm sure all of us in this room have had times like that in our life from which we have come to church, and we sit and we listen to the teaching, and afterwards we would say, "That is exactly what I needed today. I needed that word of encouragement. I needed that word of conviction." And you know, maybe you didn't like it at the time, but afterwards you're like, "Man, I'm really glad I was convicted there. You know, I needed that truth in my life." And so when you miss, you're missing the opportunity for God to give you what you need. He has compassion on you. Because of that compassion, he wants to share with you truth. When we attend church, we have the opportunity to learn God's word. Number two, another reason why it's important to attend church is not just simply to learn God's word, but secondly is to invest in the lives of others. Listen to what he says here. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. Some of you may have a version of the Bible just says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. In the original Bible language, in the Greek, he actually uses the definite article there. He says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. Fellowship was not an activity that he was talking about. What he was talking about was the group of people that were together. They devoted themselves to one another. They devoted themselves to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. And then notice how he describes this as we go on through here. Down in verse 44, he says, all the believers were together. Notice what he says there. He says, all the believers. All means all the time, and that's all means. All of them were together and had everything in common. He goes on in verse 45 and he says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. As you read through there, you get the sense that they looked forward to being together. I mean, you can sense that they just looked forward to the time in which they could gather together. Listen, I always look forward to the time in which I can gather together with God's people. And if you don't look forward to that, I don't know what to say. But anyways, hopefully you look forward to that, because that's an integral part of who we are as believers, because we all need one another. At the beginning of the year, I did a series on one another, remember? And we talked about loving one another and forgiving one another and encouraging one another, admonishing one another, praying for one another, and all the other one another's. And we can't practice the one another's that God has commanded us to practice if we're never together with one another. And so it's important for us to be together so that we can invest in the lives of others. Because there are going to be people that maybe you sit next to in church, or maybe sit in front of you or behind you, that just simply need to be encouraged. And you have the opportunity to invest in them and to encourage them. You may have people that sit around you on a Sunday morning and they just need somebody who's going to pray for them. You have the opportunity to pray for them. You may be sitting around people on a Sunday morning that just simply need somebody who is present in their lives. And you have the opportunity to be present. You may have somebody that just simply needs to be welcomed, and welcome them. I want to challenge you. And I know how easy it is on Sunday morning just to kind of come in here. And I know some of you, I'm not pointing anybody out, but some of you come in like 1 minute before the service starts, and then you leave 1 minute after the service ends, okay? But it's important for us to be around one another. And so some of you, I want you to take a step of faith, even just today. Go out of your way and say hi to someone maybe you haven't had the opportunity to talk to. Say hi to somebody that maybe you have not actually met. I know even in a room this size, it's so easy just to not be able to connect with other people. So I want to challenge you today, even just today, take a step of faith, introduce yourself to somebody that you've not had the chance to talk to, and see what God can do through that. It's amazing to me, the people that I know who have built strong, lasting, lifelong friendships because they came to church together. So I would encourage you just to take your, maybe there's somebody who visits and you just need to take a step of faith and just introduce yourself to them and thank them just simply for being here with us in our services. But we have the opportunity to invest in the lives of others because we're together. It was last year, researchers were, monitoring a group of beluga whales. I don't know if you've ever seen a beluga whale, but a beluga whale is a big white whale, and they usually swim together in, I don't know what a group of beluga whales, if it's a pack or a herd, I have no idea what they are, but they were all swimming together in this group. And so they were monitoring these beluga whales with a little drone that was flying overhead, and all of a sudden they noticed in all of these white whales was one black object that was swimming along with them. And so they zoomed in a little closer, and with all of these beluga whales was one narwhal. I don't know if you've ever seen a narwhal. It has a horn coming out of its head. It's black. But anyways, narwhals typically live 600 miles north of where these beluga whales were found. And they were just impressed with this. And so the scientists, the researchers said, well, probably what happened was this narwhal somehow got disconnected from its herd or group or whatever it was, and somehow got in contact with these beluga whales. And the researcher says, I'm not really surprised, because it's amazing how most animals will accept another species into their group. And so here it was just swimming with them, with all these other beluga whales, even though it wasn't a beluga whale. And as I read that, you're like, why are you even sharing that with us? As I read that, I brought a smile to my face, because as I read that, I thought, that is exactly what God wanted the church to be. That we would be a welcoming group of people to people that are completely different from us. People that don't think like us, people that don't have the same background as us, people that have different experiences than us, people that have different opinions than us, and God forbid, people that even would vote different than us, that we would all just be together and love one another. And you have an opportunity to do that, to make people feel part of the herd, part of the group, part of the pack, whatever it is, just simply by your presence and taking a step of faith and talking to someone and just introducing yourself. And who knows, a friendship may even be created. So we come to church. It's important for us to be in church, to learn God's word, to invest in the lives of others. But then thirdly, to worship God together. Notice what he says here. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. I was at a pastor's conference one time, and they said, if you're ever having a church service and a fire breaks out in the building, just announce that you're having a prayer meeting, and all the people will quickly and quietly leave the building. Okay? Now, prayer is a form of worship. Now, these people probably didn't have a piano or an organ or, you know, Dave Mazzara playing the drums or anything like that. And so what they did when they gathered together to worship, they gathered together to pray. That was their ultimate form of worship. They would pray together. And listen, I don't even know how to describe this, but when God's people gather together to worship God together, there is something powerful that happens. And I can't describe it, but I know that there is something majestic that happens when God's people gather to worship him. And I know this because as you look through the rest of the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 4, it says that the entire church gathered together to pray. And after they got done praying, the place where they gathered to meet was shaken. In Acts chapter 12, Peter was in prison. The church got together to pray. There was an earthquake at the prison, and Peter was miraculously released and brought back to them. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were arrested. The church gathered together to pray. There was an earthquake, and Paul and Silas miraculously left out of jail. I don't know what it is, but there is something powerful that happens when God's people are together and are in unison and are worshiping God together. And if you miss that, you miss a lot. It's like the old adage, if you miss a week, you miss a lot. It's important to be in church because if you miss, you miss the opportunity for God to speak to you through his word. If you miss the opportunity to invest in the lives of others. If you miss the opportunity to worship God with other believers. And so my big spiritual principle this morning is this, is that you and I can't be the church if we don't go to church, right? We can't be the church. We can't be the people God wants us to be if we don't show up. And so we can't be the church if we don't go to church. And there are a million reasons, million things you can find to do instead of going to church, instead of coming to church. But there are a million more reasons why you should be here. You have the opportunity, and listen, you can find Christian content on your TV, on the internet, through podcasts, all kinds of places now you can find Christian teaching and things like that, but you miss out on the other part of it, and that is just being with God's people, being together to worship him, listening to God's teaching that is tailored just simply for maybe where you are in your life. And you and I cannot be the church if we don't go to church. Anne Lamott wrote a book entitled Traveling Mercies. In that book, she tells a story of a friend who was a small child at the time. She was walking through town and got lost, lived in a fairly large town and got lost, couldn't find her way back. She was 9 or 10 years old at the time. She got panicked, and so she stopped the police officer and said, I'm lost. I don't know how to get back home. So the police officer put her in his police car, and they were driving around town. And Anne Lamott says her friend, as they drove by the front of her church, said, oh, you can let me out here. This is my church. And I always know how to get home when I find my church. And Anne Lamott said later on in life, she was reflecting on that story, and she realized in her own personal life that in tragedy and heartache and disappointments and frustrations, that when she found her church, when she was at her church, she always found her way back home. And I hope you could say the same thing, that that you somehow miss it when you're not here. If we're going to grow as to become committed followers of Christ, we have daily devotions. We pray and we read our word, read the Bible every day, and we attend church regularly. So I just want to leave you with a couple things that I want you to do. Number one, fairly simple, fairly easy, is just simply show up. Okay? Just show up. You can't be here if you don't show up. So just make a commitment. Maybe, and I really, listen, I realize that today, this sermon, I am preaching literally to the choir. Okay? I get that because you're here. You're like, why are you telling us? It's the people who aren't here who should be listening to this. Okay? So I get that. But maybe you're a person who's, maybe your attendance is a little sporadic. I just want you to make a commitment to say that every Sunday, I'm just going to show up. I'm going to show up. We have two services here, 8:30 and 10 o'clock. We have two services in Tyrone, 9:30 and 11 o'clock. We have one service in Judiata at 11 o'clock. So there's no excuse why you just can't be here. Okay? Well, I guess you would have an excuse if you were sick. Don't come then, or, you know, out of town. I understand those things. But just show up. And then number two is just welcome others. The church is all about relationships. Our relationship with God, and then our relationship with others. We serve God by serving others. We love God by loving others. And so just, like I said, just today, take a step of faith. Look around. Hey, I don't think I've ever talked to that person. And just simply introduce yourself. Just say, hi, glad to have you here today. Good to meet you. And just take that step of faith. Show up and welcome others. And when we go to church, we will be the church. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the ways in which it impacts our lives. I just thank you for each and every person who is part of Hillside Church. I thank you for the opportunities that we have to be together. And God, I pray that if there are any here this morning who, first of all, have never trusted you as their Savior, the first step to becoming a committed follower of Jesus is to place our faith and our trust in you. So I pray that they would seek me out or somebody from the church so that we can share with them how they can have a relationship with you. I pray for maybe some here, and maybe they are believers, but yet church has not been a priority. I pray today that they would just be committed to attending church on a regular basis so that they can grow and become more and more and more like you. I thank you for the journey that we're on. I look forward to being people that are connecting, growing, serving, going, as we put all of the habits into practice in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.